song, you know, he tells us, he sings a sad song about this woman, and she holds a sign up, and he passes her all the time, and he feels bad for her. And so, like most Christians, you throw money at them. Let me tell you, that's the exact wrong thing to do. If a person is begging on the street, well, here's a challenge for you. Guy holding up a sign says, "We'll work for food." Take him up on it. Say, "You know what? I got wood that needs chopped. Come to my house, and I'll give you so much money." 90% of the cases, they'll say, "No, sorry, not interested." Because they just want money. Okay? Somebody begging for money on the street, don't give them money. You're helping their drug addiction. You're helping their alcohol addiction. Here's something you're going to hate, though. Give them time. Take the time to take them to McDonald's, to take them to Arby's, to take them to Grand Concourse, Lamont, whatever it is you feel to do. You're kidding me. Somebody's going to do that, I'll bet you. Yeah, we saw him down at Station Square, so we took him to Grand Concourse for a lobster meal. But anyhow, what I'm saying is, give them your time. If they're hurting, if they're broken, yeah, they need money, but you don't want to help their addiction. What you want to do is you want to introduce them to the one that can set them free and give them that time. So, and it, what's it going to cost you? A couple bucks, a little bit of time. But it also means, along that line of just what I said, it also means giving them Jesus. Let me tell you a story. John chapter 4, we have this story where Jesus and the disciples are traveling through Samaria, and they're all hungry. And Jesus sends them off to a Jewish village to go get some food, and Jesus hangs around the Samaritan village. I'll give you the Tim Bergen translation here. And Jesus is hanging out by the well, and this woman comes out, and she is a sinner, somebody that good Jews wouldn't hang out with, somebody that good Christian wouldn't hang out with, so to speak. But this woman comes out, and Jesus begins to show us what God is really like. Because what he's doing is he begins talking to her about her need in a way that she can understand it. No Christianese, just talking with her about her need in a way that she can understand it. And he sets her free through just talking with her, telling her about how much God loves her, sharing the good news with her. So much so that she gets so excited, she goes back into the village. She doesn't care about her reputation, about the way that everybody thinks about her. And she goes in and she just begins telling everybody, "Hey, you got to hear what this guy has to say." That's what we're called to do. We want people who know us to go to tell other people, say, "Listen, you know what? You got problems, you got struggles, you got difficulties you're going through. I know somebody that has the answer. Let me take you to him." I love when that happens. Keeps me busy. But I love when that happens. And the disciples come back a little bit later, and, you know, they've got their pizza with them, the bread and the cheese, and ordered pizza out from Ishmael's Pizza Parlor down the street. They bring it back, hot and juicy, flavorful. And they said, "Jesus, you know, we got some food for you." And he's like, "I've already eaten." What, did somebody feed him while we were gone? And he says this, basically in a nutshell, "I shared the good news with somebody, and that's food for me. I shared life-changing ministry, and that's food for me." And then he goes on to say, in John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus says this. Would you read that for me, Kath?
"And Jesus said to them, 'I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst.'"
When we offer the bread of life to people, when we give them that life-changing word, Tom was talking about how people were addicted and in bondage. The reason AA doesn't work is because it's all about self-realization, self-help. And nothing can break that bondage except Jesus. His Holy Spirit working through us sets men and women free. and until they come to that revelation. And see, I need to pause here for a moment, because we can think, well, yeah, that's drug addicts, that's alcoholics, that's food addicts, that's, you know, porn addicts, that's, you know, name your addiction du jour. But let me tell you, folks, where you're at right now, you will never accomplish the great things that God has for you until you come to the place of surrendering all of your stuff to Jesus as well. Amen. It's not going to happen. We have people carrying hurts and wounds and fears and anxieties and selfishness and anger, resentment. 6 weeks to 60 years. Because you're holding on to it because it's comfortable. And I'm here to tell you this morning, until you give that to the Lord, it will limit the fulfillment of your destiny. You're wondering why you're miserable? It's because you're holding on to things that are miserable. You cannot be in the presence of God and be miserable. Say with me, I cannot be in the presence of God and be miserable. So if you're miserable, you need to wonder what happened to his presence. Oh, Pastor, don't say that kind of stuff. Okay, I'll have 12 people here next week. That's okay. We also need to understand that anyone apart from Christ is naked spiritually. They have no covering, no hope, no protection from the spiritual elements of wickedness, deception, and bondage. So unless we share the good news with them, people are spiritually naked. They're broken. They're hopeless. There's nothing for them. They're just struggling in this world to get by. Also says, hiding yourself from your own flesh. It's got to do with people groups. It's not just family. God is challenging us to love those around us, to love those in our cliques. Oh, we don't have cliques in this church, Pastor. Yes, we do. Listen, you put three people in a room and two of them are going to be in a clique. Just happens. Hear all this whining. There's so many cliques in that church. Well, hey, you know what? It's only natural. When cliques become a problem is when you don't let people into your clique. Cliques are nothing more than people that are like-minded, that think the same, that have the same kind of worldview, that maybe have the same hobbies. The nitwits are a clique. They're all ladies that like to knit. We don't have any guys there yet. Huh? Oh, you thought I was talking about something else, didn't you? Shame on you. Think on these things, whatever is lovely, whatever is pure, whatever is a good report. Some people's kids. Going right down the toilet, right? There. The worship team is a clique. Your kids are right now in a clique. They're with a group of their peers, having fun. They're all the same age. They're having a good time. When it becomes a problem is when you make it a problem, either by keeping people out, not letting people in to your friendship group, or by you thinking that everybody else doesn't like you because they're in a clique and you're not. That's when it becomes a problem. But you need to reach those people because you're like-minded. That's why they're around you. That's why they like you. If nobody likes you, you got other problems. Come see me. I've got hours throughout the week. We'll deal with it. It's also your neighbors, the people you attend school with, the people you work with. That's who you're responsible for. People that think like you. That's who you're responsible for. And it goes all the way up to our nation. We're responsible for our nation. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. It's got nothing to do with who's in the White House. It's got nothing to do with a Republican or Democratic Congress. It's got nothing to do with who's in the Supreme Court. It has everything to do with the men and women of God being men and women of God and starting to live like it and act like it. This nation, here's my name drop, Elaine. Yesterday, I was with Representative Rick Saccone and Representative Tim Murphy. Is that good for you? Okay. And we were talking about a number of things, and I got the chance to pray for them both. We also have a very good friend of mine that I can't tell you to vote for her because that would be wrong, but she's a Christian and she's going to be running for Supreme Court Justice. That is, she's a Christian. She is Spirit-filled. She loves Jesus with every part of her. She was a Superior Court Justice, and she's going to be running for the Supreme Court. And her name is Cheryl... Why did I just lose... Huh? Allen. Cheryl Allen, yes. And I say that to say that God is doing something amazing and that we need to keep praying because it's happening. We're going to believe God to turn this Mon Valley around. We're going to believe God to turn this state around. Do you know that our state constitution says in the preamble basically this? That this state, this commonwealth, has been set aside by Almighty God and through His provision. But our kids can't pray in school. Do you know what our state, what our national motto is? Our national motto is, "In God we trust." Is that amazing? In God we trust. Say with me, "In God I trust."
In God I trust.
We got to bring that back. We need people to know that. Do you know that Pennsylvania state education criterion requires 10 Bible verses to be read in class every day? That's state law. Isn't that amazing? So why don't these things happen? Why is our country gradually going downhill rather than uphill? Well, I don't blame anybody but the church, because we're responsible. When ungodly people act ungodly, it doesn't mess me up. It's all they know. But when the church refuses to act godly, and I'm not saying protest, I'm not saying go out there and beat down the doors of your senator and or representative or send nasty letters to the president or the Supreme Court or whatever. I'm saying when we pray, God moves things. When we get ourselves out of the way, God moves things. When we lay down our selfishness and we raise up His banner, God does things. That's all He's looking for, is for Christians to act Christian. When we can allow racism to live in the church, prejudice of all kinds to live in the church, unacceptable. I would challenge, I say this haltingly, I would challenge every white person in this room to over the age of 16 to go see the movie Selma. The reason being is that first off, you have to be aware of a couple things. Number one, the language is rough at times because it's real of what they went through. The violence is rough at times because it's real of what they went through, and I'm sure they couched it. I was surprised because I've read a lot about Dr. Martin Luther King. And I know that he was a failed man in many ways. He had multiple affairs. He had some issues with some other failures in his life. But he was a preacher that felt a mandate from God to break down injustice. And God kept working on him because he kept surrendering to God. The sad part about the movie is they barely mention that he's a preacher. They barely mention the Word of God at all in the movie. But you need to remember what this country was like 40 years ago, 50 years ago. And it is, you know, it's not a kind of movie that Paige likes. She was wincing. I was wincing at just the hatred, how people could hate that way. It's a challenge, but I just want to warn you, the language is a little rough in places. It's PG-13, but the language is a little rough, and the violence, I mean, they don't show all the violence that really happened at Selma, Alabama. It's a story of the march at Selma, Alabama, that turned the tide, that forced LBJ to actually make a move for voting rights for African Americans. The Lord has called us to loosen the bonds of wickedness, which I touched on. It's wickedness is any sin. Say with me, wickedness is any sin. To undo or tear off of people the heavy burdens. These are the things that people carry from life, and especially their past. Let the oppressed go free. It's to help people see the devil is defeated, and we are full of the Holy Spirit, and he reigns in us to crush and defeat the works of the enemy. Folks, you know where the devil gets the most praise? In church. Well, the devil just did that to me. It was just the devil. Folks, there's only one devil. He is not omnipresent. More of our problem is with our own flesh. It is easy for me to cast out demons. It is easy for me to take authority of the devil. It is tough for me to deal with people's flesh because you have to be willing to submit to God. Break every yoke. It's helping people break free of the things that stop them from fulfilling their destiny. Drugs, alcohol, food, pornography, criticism, gossip, Facebook, lying, fear, jealousy, prejudice, racism, hurts, wounds. All this stuff that binds us, that's what we're called to do. And folks, we need to look at the people around us and see them and say, okay, God, what can I do? Now, this sounds like a tough thing. Say with me, Pastor, that's a tough thing. Because it is. But let me give you the good news. Say, I'm ready for the good news. Okay, the good news is number one, God has perfectly gifted us to do this part. Say with me, God's gifted me. Okay, you have gifts, skills, talents, and abilities that God has given you. The scripture says in Romans that every person has been given a measure of faith. And in that measure of faith, we have been gifted to change our world. So we need to start believing it. Secondly, God has perfectly empowered us to be able to accomplish everything we need to. Say, God has empowered me. Listen, folks, if you read your Bibles, you would know this scripture. It says, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. That same Spirit, according to Genesis, is the breath of God. That same Spirit opened the blind eyes. That same Spirit caused the paralyzed to walk. That same Spirit raised other dead people. That same Spirit dwells in you. Say with me, that Spirit dwells in me. So I am empowered to set men and women free. Amen. Now, here's where I start picking on you a little bit. God reveals our hearts and our true love of Him by how we respond to this. Jesus said, if you read your Bibles, they will know you by your love one for another. How can you love God whom you haven't seen, if you don't love your brother whom you have seen. Honey, there's going to be like four of us here next week. I'm just telling you, I need you to be here to be my amen corner. I'm just telling you. Folks, we cannot play church. We have to be the church. This Friday night and Sunday mornings is about healing, broken, being a hospital, but more importantly, it is about a college education to be about the business to go out there and change the world. You're supposed to take, see, that's why it, you know, it frustrates me if you don't come every week, because I believe that God is leading us in a direction, and if you miss a week, you miss a sense of direction, and then you get beat up for a couple weeks, and then I hear about it, and you're like, oh, I don't understand why I'm beat up. Well, let me tell you, you will get sick if you don't eat, if you don't drink. And if you're not in the Word, if you're not in prayer, and if you're not in fellowship with believers, Acts 2:42, if you read your Bible, that's how you grow. God does all this through us, showing His great love, His grace, His mercy, and His power. He does it to show the world that He's God. So He wants to use you to show the world that He's God. So don't worry about you. Don't worry about messing up. Don't worry about blowing it. Worry about just saying, God, you know what? Use me. I'm here. Let me change the world. Let people see Jesus in me so that I can change my world. Don't let me go down that road, because we could be here till the Super Bowl. Yeah, you say that now. Matthew 6:33. If I go past 12:15 and the Baptist beat you to the restaurant, you'd be upset. Matthew 6:33, Kath.
But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you.
Jesus said, listen, let me do the Tim Bergen translation on this for you. You take care of God's business, God will take care of yours. Some of you are battling relationship problems, health crises, financial problems. Some of you are battling all kinds of things, fears, anxieties, anger, lust, all these issues. God isn't looking for you to be perfect. Say with me, God's not looking for me to be perfect. He just wants me to be obedient. So when you're about His business, He'll take care of the rest. The problem is, we become navel-focused. Oh, I got so many problems. My world is collapsing around me. We just sang this song that God's love never fails. And you're rocking. Bill was having a good time. Your love never fails, except in my problems, except when I got something to worry about, except when something difficult comes my way, except I get a bill that's too big for me, except my kids give me a hard time, except my husband gives me a hard time, unless my job loses it, unless I get sick, unless I... But your love never fails. Let me go on. Isaiah 58:10 says this.
Then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday.
The light in us shines so brightly that the people are able to see the darkness that they are in. In verse 10 of Isaiah chapter 58, God is saying, listen, I want your light to so shine so brightly that the people around you will realize that they're in darkness. They don't realize it. They're just humming along, doing their best, making the money so their kids can eat and play all the sports, go to all the dance classes, go to all the different things that they've got to do so they can run them here and there and have the Xbox and Nintendo and the PS27, whatever they've got out now. That's what I live for. Got to make sure my kids have everything. I don't have time for Jesus. When we walk into a place, people should sense the presence of God. Because he's with us and he's for us. Jesus said, if you read your Bible, you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. In this light is hope and love and joy and peace and so much more that we can live in and we can give it to people. Folks, I'm trying to challenge you this morning that you can live in this light. If this morning you are hopeless, if this morning you don't feel that love, if this morning you don't feel that power, if this morning you don't feel that anointing, if this morning you don't feel that grace and that mercy being poured out on you, if this morning you are feeling condemned, if this morning you are feeling beat up, if this morning you are feeling hopeless, I am telling you, there is a light that wants to arise in you and set you free. This morning, not tomorrow, this morning. See, folks, on one hand, I know that the Holy Spirit resident in us has all the power to accomplish all these things. But I believe, like so many other things that God does, when we're about his business, when God calls us to do this ministry, it activates these blessings. Just like when you give, the scripture says, when you give, he will give back. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. He will keep him in perfect peace. Just everybody? No. Those who make the decision to have their minds rested in him. He who is faithful with little, got to be faithful with little, will be given much. But God, why don't you just bless me? Why don't you just pour out? God, why don't you do this? God, why don't you do that? God, you know, God, I want my kids to come to know Jesus, but, you know, we got to have them there in between dance classes and soccer and football and baseball and all this stuff. But God, I know you'll save them and get them saved. If they don't have the word in them, your kids are going to go to hell. We have, folks, until they're 8 years old. If we don't reach your kids by the time they're eight, the possibility of them coming to Christ is less than 10%. So if you aren't getting your kids here, if you aren't reading them Bible stories, the Bible, if you aren't praying with them, when they're 16 and 17 and 18 years old, don't come crying to me saying, Pastor, my kids are on drugs, they're going to hell. Uh-huh. Let's pray. I can believe God to do any miracle. But you just made all of our jobs 10 times harder than it needed to be. Because you thought sports would save them. Dance class would save them. I mean, those things are good. Don't get me wrong. Okay? Your kids should be involved in sports. Your kids should be involved in dance. Your kids should be involved in plays. You should stir up that creativity in whatever way you can. But like anything else in our lives, it cannot be an idol. It cannot take the place of relationship with Christ. Verse 8. Kathy?
Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily. And your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard.
This light is different than what I read earlier in verse 10. Because in the Hebrew, what it's saying here is that this light that will break forth like the morning, God is saying he will cause you to prosper just like the light spreads at sunrise. If you are taking care, if you're doing God's business, God will not be outdone. He will cause you to prosper. What does that mean, prosper? It means every skill, every gift, every talent, and every ability that God has placed in you will blossom and bloom and grow. And you will be fulfilled as a person as you take care of God's business. Your healing springs forth speedily. The idea here is that a bandage is placed on a wound to restore the body to wholeness. The Hebrew emphasis there is saying that if we do these things that we talked about earlier, like a plant springing out of the ground, he will cause restoration to take place in what has been broken, wounded, and stolen from you. Just like a seed that is in the ground, God causes you to blossom, healing, restoration. God, I don't know why for 20 years I've suffered with this. I've battled the same thing over and over again. God, I keep seeking you. He's already given you the key to your healing, to your deliverance, to your freedom. It's called being about his business. It's called being about his business. And your righteousness shall go before you. What the Lord is saying here is that God's righteousness will guide you. It will lead you the same way that the children of Israel were led in the wilderness. God's righteousness will be like pillar of smoke by day and pillar of fire by night. It'll go ahead of you. When you're wondering what God's will is for your life, you're wondering what you're supposed to do for God, let me challenge you to do this. Loosen the bonds of wickedness. Tear off the burdens of others. Set the oppressed free. Take the yokes off of other people. And I guarantee you, money back guarantee, guarantee you, God will guide you into exactly what you need to do to change your world, to fulfill your destiny. See, what the enemy does to the church is he stirs up the flesh so that, you know what, I need. Just what Tom was talking about. I need. My God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory. How does he do that? Why did Paul write that? Because what Paul is saying to the Philippian church is, listen, you met the need of others, so guess what? God's going to meet your need. Does that sound familiar? So this Old Testament principle that we're seeing in Isaiah chapter 58 is applicable to the New Testament today. You want to know what God has called you to do? You want to be about his business? Then he says he will be your guiding. Your righteousness will guide you. And then on top of that, here's what it means. It means that as you walk in righteousness, letting him guide you, then he will give you favor everywhere you go. Some of you are hitting roadblocks, and the reason being is that you haven't acted righteously toward others. So we have a challenge before us. We're down to like two people, just going to be you and me, honey. Mom will come. My mother loves me. Nobody else may love me, but my mother loves me. She'll be here. I might be able to convince Ed to come back next week. If I tell him I've got a problem with the coffee in the back or something. And then he says, if you're doing these things, you're taking care of people. And folks, let me really summarize it this way, because it can seem very overwhelming. All God is saying here is, if you love people the way that I love them, that's all I'm asking you to do. God isn't asking you to go out and to look for all these problem people. Here's what will happen. As you begin to say, God, I want to do this. God, I want to see these things in my life. God is going to open your eyes to people around you that have these needs. See, right now you're not obligated because you haven't really been looking at it. You've been staring at your navel. Say, God, I don't know what I'm going to do if I don't get that Mercedes 350. How can I survive? God, I only have $1.2 million in my 401k. How can I make it another day? Oh, God, please. I'm suffering. My sneakers only cost me $98. How can I make it? God, I haven't been out to eat in 10 days. How can I survive? I'm not just loving it. Some of you will get that later when you see the commercial. You'll be going, oh, that's what he meant. God, I'm down to 400 channels on my cable because I can't afford all 1,000. I'm suffering. I can only get ESPN 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I can't get 11 and 12. I can't see hockey in 12 different languages. How can I survive? These are American problems. He says he'll be your rear guard. That's got a couple of things to it. Number one, we've read in Scripture that the armor of God talks about our covering our head, our chest, our waist, our thighs, our feet. We've got the shield, got the sword. And our back isn't covered. And I mentioned last week and the week before that, you know, some people think that, well, you know, as Christians, we, you know, we're always moving forward, and so the devil can't attack us from behind. Many of our problems are based on our past. And where is our past? God will be our rear guard as we do these things, as we focus in on him. He'll be our rear guard. He'll protect us from the back. Our former lives, he'll cover. The failures from our past, he'll cover. He'll be our rear guard. Secondly, the idea of a rear guard, and I love this too, and I think many of you will as well, is that when you have a rear guard in an army, what a rear guard does is it catches all the stragglers. When we're about the business, the Father's business, you have people in your lives that you've shared the gospel with. You have people in your lives that you love that just haven't made that commitment. He says, listen, you do these things, you take care of my business. And those stragglers that are running behind, that haven't made a commitment to Christ, guess what? I'll get them. I'll get them. They may be dragging their feet, but I'll get them. If you're focused on me, I'll take care of it. Because I love them more than you do. Once again, here's what the Lord wants us to do. And it's just simply acting like Jesus. Loose the bonds of wickedness, undo the heavy burdens, let the oppressed go free, break every yoke. You're empowered to do it. You're gifted to do it. You're called to do it. And if we do it, all these promises are fulfilled in your life. Say, Pastor, I want the promises. Maybe you're here this morning and you're under a bondage. You're carrying a heavy burden. You feel like you're in a bond of wickedness. We can pray for you. And I would encourage you to come to receive prayer. But I'm going to challenge you to take a step beyond the prayer, is that as you come for prayer this morning, that as people are praying for you, that not only do you receive prayer, but you determine and you say, you know what, God? I receive the prayer. I believe this is what you want to do for me. I believe you want to change my world. But Father, I'm going to go out and I'm going to ask you to open my eyes, open my ears, help me to see the people around me that really need to see this. So I'm stop focus on my problems, stop focus on my selfishness, stop focus on my navel, and start looking at you and what you want done. God will do it for you. Some of you this morning are saying, you know what? I don't have any heavy burdens. I don't feel oppressed. I don't feel yoked to something I shouldn't be yoked. But man, the idea, I don't know that I could do this. I don't know that I could do this. See, here's the deal, folks. There's not a man, woman, or child on the face of the earth that God doesn't love. And he wants them all to come into the kingdom. Because hell wasn't created for man. It's created for the devil and his angels. How's that going to happen? It happens because you and I make the decision that we're going to let the Lord open our eyes, and it's going to stop being about us, and it's going to be about him. And see, here is the most frustrating part. All those dreams and all those things that you have in your heart that you want to see happen that haven't happened yet, it's not happening because you've been going after it your way. And God's saying, do things my way and I'll fulfill your destiny. I'll make it happen. That's the way God does things. You do things my way, and I'll make it happen. It's not rocket science. It's not brain surgery. It's not brain science or rocket surgery. It's just simply reading your Bible, praying, knowing what it says, and living it. It's not that hard. I remember a commercial. They used to say, if you're tired of being sick and tired, you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, then take this. Well, I'm here to tell you, if you're tired of living the life that you're living, Jesus said he came to give us life and give it abundantly. And some of you have abundant life that you hate. There's a popular song that says, fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus. And I want to encourage you this morning. But Pastor, I've been saved for 47 years. Pastor, I've been saved for 6 months. Pastor, I said the sinner's prayer last week. It's okay. I'm saying that God says in his word, the eyes of the Lord are looking to and fro, seeking whom he can strongly support, whose hearts are totally his. 1 Corinthians 16:9, or not Corinthians, Chronicles. God is looking for men and women that he can do amazing things with. But as long as we're doing things in our strength, as long as we're doing things our way, he can't do it through us because we're in the way. But Pastor, I've been down the aisle a million times. Make it a million one, and this time mean it. Mean it. And watch and see what God will do. Strongly support those whose hearts are totally his. What's it mean? It means you're out of the way, and he's in charge. Isn't that cool? There's so much less worry that way. when I've been overseas and been in dangerous situations, when I get me out of the way, it's so peaceful. When I get somebody spitting in my face and I get me out of the way, it is so peaceful. When somebody cuts me off and a half hour later after I get me out of the way, I'm so peaceful. I'm just telling the truth and shaming the devil here this morning. God has got such amazing plans for us if we will just get us out of the way. And it's not shortchanging us. He's not turning us into some kind of robot. What he's doing is he's fulfilling the way we were created to be. It is so freeing to do that. So this morning, I'm going to ask you to come and do that. That's all. I ask you to come and do that. Let's stand. I'm going to pray, and I also want to make sure that you understand that this altar is always open. If you're battling some kind of sickness, disease, money issues, relationship issues, chronic halitosis, listen, if something's big to you, it's big to God. If my kids, when they were little, they came to me and they had, you know, some, "Daddy, I can't get enough yellow Legos to make this work." It was important to me. I know it was funny, but it was important to me because it was important to them. We need to realize how much God loves us and that you're important. Read Psalm 139 if you don't think that. First 18 verses. That's in your Bible, by the way. It's a big book, about halfway in the middle. Just kind of open it up halfway and you'll basically be there. God loves you. And he just wants you to take the love that he's poured into you that you know and share it with others. That's all. It's not that hard. But we have to be willing to get us out of the way and let him be Lord and God. So, Father, I thank you for today. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I don't have all the answers, but you do have all the answers. And Lord, I pray that as people come to this altar this morning, Lord, that it's not an exercise in futility. It's not a religious thing. It's about relationship. And Lord, it's a decision that's being made to say, God, I need you. I want you. I put you in charge. And I am so tired of not seeing the dreams fulfilled in my heart and seeing so many things get in the way. So God, I'm giving it all to you this morning. And I want to see you do amazing things. So Father, break every yoke, undo the burdens, set the prisoner free, set the captive free. In Jesus' name, amen.
Greater is the one who's in us. Greater is the one who calls our name. He will never fail. Stronger is the one within us. Stronger is the one who fights for us. You will never fail. Oh, your love endures forever. Oh, your love endures forever. Open up our eyes, surround us with your light, your love endures forever. Our God is fighting. Our God is fighting. for us always. Our God is fighting for us all. Our God is fighting for us always. We are not alone. We are not alone. Our God is fighting.
Thank you for fighting for us, Lord. Thank you for being with us. Just fill us this week, Lord. May we receive your power and work in it. Lord, if we do our part, we know you'll do your part. So, Lord, we just pray for your peace, your presence, your strength, your resolve in our hearts this week. Lord, I pray that you would be with everyone as they leave here today, that they would take you with them, Lord, and work with you this week. In Jesus' name, amen. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is for us, then what could stand against? What are you turning? Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is deeper, awesome in power. Our God, our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is deeper, awesome. For us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? What could stand? Thank you.